It's Friday, and we know what that means. Another week of Tom Green Podcast where you listen to me for 20 minutes and think, why the hell did I just listen to this? But guess what? We're here because we are. So welcome to once again another edition of the Tom Green Podcast. This week we got Michigan and Iowa and Lions and Seattle. So before we continue laughing at ourselves here at Tom Green headquarters, TGHQ, let's roll on to the preview. Michigan and Iowa. Michigan had a close victory over Maryland at home, to which I feel Maryland is legit. Iowa, of course, struggling on offense. Big noon kickoff once again. And let's go to the matchup predictors. Matchup predictor says Michigan is a 76.9% favorite to Iowa's 23.1%. Passing yards. J.J. McCarthy, 693 passing yards with 5 touchdowns. Spencer Petras, 524 yards with 1 touchdown and 2 picks. Rushing yards. Blake Corum, 478 yards and 9 touchdowns. Johnson, 174 yards and 2 touchdowns. Receiving yards. Ronnie Bell, 253 yards and a touchdown. Laporta, 154 yards, no touchdowns. The line as of Friday afternoon. Michigan is a minus 10.5-point favorite, minus 440 on the money line. Iowa is plus 335 on the money line. The over-under is 42. There isn't a whole lot that really needs explanation as far as this matchup goes. I think most Big Ten fans know and realize that Kinnick Stadium is where top five teams go to die. That being said, Iowa's offense is terrible. In fact, I was hanging out with Kelly in Vegas and Chris Castellani over last weekend, and I straight up asked the man, the myth, the legend that is Chris Castellani, which offense is better, this year's Iowa or 2014 Michigan? Now, I do realize that's comparing, like on South Park, a giant douche to a turd sandwich. I understand that for sure. But I wanted his view on that, and he told me 2014 Michigan because of the talent that Hoke could recruit. That said, that should tell you right there where Iowa's offense is at. Of course, that being said, this game is at Kinnick Stadium, so anything can happen. Three keys to the game for Michigan to win. One, get turnovers on defense. Do not make Iowa look any confident at all. Defense has to step up. They were okay last week. Again, I feel Maryland is a very legitimate offense that will upset someone. Here at Michigan Country, we hope it's Ohio State. That is possible. Not completely impossible, but you see what I mean. Second key to the game, J.J. or Cade has got to play well, because Iowa's defense is going to remember the Big Ten title game from last year. This is a rematch of last year's Big Ten title game in Indianapolis. They will remember that. Unfortunately for Iowa, Van Valkenburg is not on defense, so that's going to hurt them. And three, score points. Michigan scored enough points last week to beat Maryland. I think 31, or however much they scored last week, should be able to do the trick against Iowa. But as far as any game goes, don't take your foot off the gas in the second half unless you know that you have the game in the bag. 34 points was the official total on Maryland. Iowa has yet to score 34 in a game. However, last week they did score 27 on Rutgers. So not impossible that Iowa can score. But Iowa's offense, of course, is not very good. Keys to Iowa winning this game, God forbid, one, it's at Kinnick Stadium. If you can somehow score early and score in the second half, you can get the home crowd on your side and beat this Michigan team. That's not impossible, because remember, Kinnick Stadium is where top five teams go to die. Do you want to keep that narrative going? Score early and score often. Two, make Michigan think about their quarterback selection. Cade McNamara or J.J. McCarthy. I almost said Cade McCarthy as a kind of fusion of the two. Sometimes my brain can do that to me. You got to make Michigan think about their quarterback selection and not just hand the ball off to Blake Corum. Because Blake Corum can get the job done. You want to contain the run game. So really, make Michigan think about their quarterback situation by containing the run game. So let's just cut that to contain the run game. And three, of course, get turnovers on defense. Turnovers, as said almost every week on this show, great at Arby's, not on the field. In fact, Arby's should sponsor me for that or something like that. If ever Arby's can reach out to me, that would be amazing. So that's your three keys for Iowa. Your three keys, of course, for Michigan. Score early, score often, get a turnover on defense. Don't make Iowa look amazing at home. For Iowa, score early, score often, cut down Corum, get turnovers on defense. How do I think this game goes? Last week I had said that I thought Michigan was pretty comfortable covering a 17-point spread. I was wrong about that. Of course, this year I've been wrong about a lot of things football-related because the schedule and not so much the schedule, the games have been so back and forth that I've been just about on the short end of almost every stick, especially in our Pick'em segment. In fact, if any players did play in the Pick'em segment, you probably have done better than me. Congratulations to you. That said, I'm going to use my wrong logic and pick Iowa to win this game. It's a prove me wrong game. Yes, I think Iowa covers a 10.5, and they could win by a field goal this game. So, for the reverse logic, I'm going to pick Iowa 24, Michigan 21. However, I truly feel that Michigan can cover this 10.5. But I'm going to pick Iowa to a kind of a reverse voodoo logic. Hear me out. You can understand where I'm going with that. So with that being said, let's move on to this preview.
All right. Coach, were you happy or annoyed that Trump read the letter?
Seattle.
But your team's always been good at keeping outside distractions on the outside. Given the nature of this presidential race,
Seattle.
Did you find it helpful to talk
Seattle.
To players about this? Have any of your players talked to you about this?
Seattle.
Any concerns about any locker room rancor as a result of this?
Next.
Seattle. Who are the Lions playing this week? Seattle. How about the outside distractions about last week? Seattle. Can you say anything other than Seattle? Seattle. Because that's who we're playing. Seattle. Geno Smith once... Of course, I laugh when I say that. Geno Smith once said, "They write me off, I ain't right back." Let's see if they do write back this week. Lions are a 64.2% favorite at home to Seattle's 35.4%, almost a half percent chance that this game ends in a tie. Passing yards, Geno Smith with 717 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. Goff with 748 yards, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. They might write Geno Smith off, but Jared Goff has the advantage. Rushing yards, Rashard Penny with 141, DeAndre Swift with 231 yards and a touchdown. He was out for most of last week. Plan for that accordingly, fantasy owners, including myself, knock on wood, because I had Jamal Williams on my bench and he scored 2 touchdowns. F me, right? Advantage Swift if he plays. Receiving yards, Tyler Lockett, 211. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 253 with 3 touchdowns. Advantage Amon-Ra St. Brown. The Lions are a 3.5-point favorite in this game. The money line is -180 to Detroit versus Seattle's +152. The over-under is 48. I can say with some certainty, believe it or not, that I believe the over is going to hit. Because the over has hit in, I believe, every game so far for the Lions. They can score. Sometimes they just got to get stops. And as far as last week goes, it's a game on paper they really shouldn't have won anyway. It's a game played on the field that they should have won. Whether you go for it on fourth down when they missed a field goal, or they make the field goal, or punt, whatever, whenever, wherever, whatever. Shout out Shakira. Whatever happens, that's a game that I honestly feel like they really shouldn't have won to start out with. Nonetheless, on the field, they really should have won that game, and it's another Lions lost it as everybody's scratching their head and thinking, say, well, Lions, which annoys me to pieces. That said, I think the Lions win this game. Three keys to the game for both teams. Lions, get the ball running. They've done a fairly decent job at running the ball in a pass-heavy league. So, run the football and good things happen. Let's see, in the passing game, Amon-Ra St. Brown just keep doing his thing. Seattle is not the LOB that they were back when I graduated from high school, 2013. And three, of course, make Geno Smith look silly. Make him right back. Make Geno Smith right back, I guess. Keys to Seattle winning this game. It seems like Seattle has had Detroit's number the past few times playing them. LOB or not, keep the numbers rolling with Rashard Penny and DJ Dallas. I believe Travis Homer is no longer on their team. But DJ Dallas and Rashard Penny, pass game, do what you can and get turnovers. Pretty easy as that, I say, in this Lions-Seattle matchup. So, once again, Detroit, run the football, utilize Amon-Ra St. Brown, make Geno Smith look silly. Seattle, they've had their number, keep it that way. Utilize a running game with Penny and Dallas. Get turnovers on defense. Do I think Detroit wins this game? I think they do. They get the ball rolling to 2-2. And make a little bit of noise possibly in the NFC North. If they can stop anything. Detroit 31, Seattle 27. 3.5 covers, but it's going to be higher scoring once again. That said, on to the pick'ems. It's what you've all been waiting for. Yes, the pick'ems for this week. We have 9 games this week, plus a bonus game. And the bonus game actually comes from the Big Ten. Stay tuned when it comes to that. But, of course, we start out in the SEC with Kentucky and Ole Miss. Kentucky beat Florida. Ole Miss has been playing good Ole Miss football under Lane Kiffin. I've been wrong on over half my picks so far for this season. It's been actually a bit atrocious. So if you're playing the pick 'em, you might want to pick opposite of me because I will likely get this wrong. Give me Ole Miss at home by a field goal. I think the hottie toddies at home get it done and drink hot toddies afterwards if you're 21 or older. Alabama and Arkansas. This game, a ranked versus ranked game, I think we all know who's going to win this game. It's more of a do they cover, which unfortunately this is not the biggest line on the schedule of rankings, so it does not qualify for the bonus game, but I think Alabama wins by 3 possessions. I think Alabama does cover. Oklahoma State and Baylor, a rematch of the Big 12 title game that came down to one defensive stop that Oklahoma State just could not make. Dave Arnada's had the Baylor Bears playing pretty well. Of course, they won the Big 12 last year. Again, on a touchdown run that really should have been stopped by the Cowboy defense at AT&T Stadium. That could have been why, because the Cowboys were playing at AT&T Stadium. Remember, even though I'm talking about Dallas, it's not a logo, it's a rating. 1-star Cowboys. That being said, Oklahoma State are 5-star Cowboys because Mike Gundy has mullets. Mike Gundy is a man. He is 55. Oklahoma State wins this game by a field goal simply off that logic. NC State and Clemson, an Atlantic Division battle that will probably decide the division. NC State, first thing that comes to my mind is trap game, but it's at Clemson. Clemson's defense had some holes in it against Wake Forest, but Wake Forest can score. DJ Uiagalelei, I pronounced that correctly, you might want to save that recording, Uiagalelei, will have a day with NC State, Clemson by two scores. On the NFL for this week, Cleveland and Atlanta, I cannot believe the Falcons beat Seattle last week. That is probably why Detroit is favored over Seattle this week, was because these dirty birds, and yes, that's their hashtag, these dirty birds beat Seattle. I don't know how, I don't know why. The Browns, well, they beat Pittsburgh, where they won their rivalry game, but who knows where they'll be at with Jacoby Brissett. That said, give me the, almost said the Bucks. They are in our pick'ems, though, this week. The Browns by 4, 24-20. Arizona-Carolina, two teams that should be way better than they actually are. And this game should really, I don't know how this game became a pick'em game. You have good games, you have crap games, and it's probably because Arizona, I don't know. Honestly, they blew the game against the Rams, but they never really did have a lead. Give me Arizona by 10. I don't really know how this made pick'ems, but indeed it did. AFC West division rivalry, Denver against Las Vegas. It's Peyton Manning against Derek Carr, right? Wrong. Russell Wilson against Derek Carr. Indeed. Peyton Manning against some random quarterback not named Derek Carr. Wrong. Russell Wilson against Derek Carr. It's in Vegas. You got Nathaniel Hackett's offense, which I don't know what in the world he's trying to do. I'll gamble. Give me the Raiders by a field goal in that one. Kansas City and Tampa Bay, thoughts and prayers out to those affected by Hurricane Ian as that now goes up the South Carolina and North Carolina coast towards D.C. It looks like it's heading possibly towards the western end of Pennsylvania, and Michigan might be getting some remnants of that by middle of next week-ish. That said, those that are possibly listening to the show that is undergoing destruction or something like that, they're having to assess. I pray for you, and I hope that everything turns out well. That said, this game is being played in Tampa, which could be good for the Bucs fans, because that way they can take a day out of their schedule and just experience some relief, and honestly, experience a Bucs victory by a field goal. I think the community will rally from this hurricane and take this game over Kansas City by a field goal, 27-24. Monday Night Football, I believe. Yes, Rams and San Francisco. I believe San Francisco is favored, but I think the Rams are just a little bit better team. And unfortunately, without Jaquiski Tartt, there is no interception to drop in San Francisco. That said, what if he caught that ball? Then the Niners would be going to the Super Bowl against the Bengals and be a matchup of the late 80s, which would have been something else. Give me the Rams by 10. Bonus game for this week. Again, it's the biggest line on the schedule that is not part of the original pick'ems. And this game, it's Rutgers and Ohio State. Ohio State is a 39.5-point favorite. Last week, we had Kent State and Georgia, and I thought Georgia would cover by the back door. I was wrong on that assessment. Kent State scored more points than I think any of us imagined, and it was probably because Georgia had their third stringers in, and Kent State just started scoring a few points, which screwed up the line. So if you bet with me last week, I'm sorry. But this week, I think Ohio State does cover. Because Castellani and I kind of both thought that Rutgers would not only cover but beat Iowa. Iowa actually kind of got to them. So I think Ohio State wins and covers 39.5 over Rutgers. So with that all said, reviewing the pick-ems. Kentucky and Ole Miss, I pick Ole Miss. Bama and Arkansas, I pick Alabama. Oklahoma State and Baylor, I pick Oklahoma State. NC State and Clemson, I pick Clemson. In the NFL, Cleveland and Atlanta, I pick the Browns. Cardinals, Panthers, I pick the Cardinals. Vegas and Denver, I picked the Raiders. Kansas City and Tampa, I picked the Bucks. And Rams and San Francisco, I picked the Rams. Bonus game, I think Ohio State covers 39.5 over Rutgers. That's this week's show, and hopefully we'll have a guest on next week. And we'll see you again then. Remember, Seattle.